We're going to hear in our scripture lesson from John chapter 15 a little bit of what it means to be friends of Jesus. Beginning at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that if you love one another as I have loved you, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What do you aspire to be? Or at least as a child or teenager or young adult, what did you want to be when you grew up? California Highway Patrolman. What else? What other things did you want to be? Ah, the one who finds a cure for cancer. Someone who makes a good amount of money. That's fair. Yeah. Always wanted to be a teacher. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? Do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up?
A mommy.
A mom. Ah. What else?
I wanted to have a hot dog stand.
The owner of a hot dog stand. Awesome. All right. So there are all sorts of jobs and lives that captured your attention or your admiration. So I'm going to ask a slightly different question, maybe related, maybe not. What if I ask you about celebrities? What do you find compelling or endearing about celebrities or famous people? Not a lot. For those who do charitable work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those who also manage to have happy families.
For those who have happy families, yeah. Although that's not as common as we wish it was, right? So there are fewer, perhaps, compelling things about famous people or celebrities. It's interesting that researchers in the United States and in the United Kingdom have found some sort of staggering results. They polled children between the ages of 5 and 11. They found that the majority of children in these early years no longer aspire to be doctors or lawyers or teachers or nurses, as previous generations usually did. Instead, children polled recently tend to prefer to be famous. They want the recognition and the admiration that come along with fame. So the interesting thing is that these children who are being studied have have described that the way they become famous is not so important to them. If you had found a way to cure cancer, that would have been something that might have propelled you to fame, but it wouldn't have been your motivation for curing cancer. The fame would not have been. But that's a skill or a talent or a way to contribute to society. Oftentimes, those things, skills and talents and ways to contribute to society, are no longer primary values as children think about what they want to be when they grow up. So then I wonder what values are communicated in desiring fame or celebrity status. Today's scripture lesson is a pretty stark contrast to that research study. John chapter 15 paints a different picture of what we should be aspiring to do or to be. Jesus says that we are to abide in the Father's love, for in doing so, we will know joy that has been made complete. Now, the greatest display of this sort of love is sacrificial friendship. The friendship where you're willing to lay down your life for the sake of your friend. And to be that sort of friend, Jesus notes, means that God has changed the relationship between God and humankind. There used to be sort of a hierarchy, a master and a servant sort of setup. But because of Jesus, it's a friend-to-friend relationship. Now, this change of relationship, this depth of love and joy, is transformational. And one of the ways that I have seen this best illustrated is in the movie Cars. Cars is a movie about cars. They're anthropomorphized, so they do the talking and the acting themselves, these cars do. And they are on a racing circuit. So there are a series of races that these cars go through, and we follow them through some of the adventures at their races and between races. Now, the main focus of the movie Cars is on a hotshot sports car named Lightning McQueen. And he is in his rookie year as the movie unfolds. And he's getting ready for the biggest race of the season, the Piston Cup. Lightning McQueen wants to be a famous race car. His goal is fame, and he's trying to make a big splash in his first year on the circuit. With his eyes set on fame, Lightning McQueen thinks a championship would be nice, but really his interest is garnering the key sponsorships, the special treatment, the privileges that go along with elite race car status. The problem with seeking all of this fame for Lightning McQueen is that he has a hard time telling when he's garnered it, because he's wanting more and more and more, and he doesn't have an end in sight. In continuing to seek greater and greater status, Lightning McQueen fails to recognize the people who support him along the way. He has little regard for his friends and the community that cheers him on. Like Lightning McQueen, I think we too can get absorbed in our own desires to seek recognition and praise from time to time. And when that happens, we often live into a relationship with others that looks a lot more like master and servant, us and those we think should be giving us the accolades. It becomes a problem when seeking out praise and recognition takes the place of our human need for belonging and acceptance. We We long to be valued and affirmed as social creatures. And we have to be careful in how we fulfill those needs, making sure that it's through a loving community rather than demanding others give us praise. Success and notoriety without a community are meaningless and empty. A life worth celebrating, worthy of giving our attention, shouldn't be a life that's meaningless and empty. As Jesus points out, the life that is worthy of our Christian calling is a life characterized by love and joy, by sacrifice for friend and community. Now, Lightning McQueen begins to learn this lesson that the ego isn't what's worth celebrating. On his way to prepare for his last race of the season, he runs into some unanticipated trouble and finds himself stranded in a small, little run-down town. He goes through some adventures, meets some new people, does a little community service, and begins to have a change of heart. It takes a while for the transformation to take root in Lightning McQueen's life, but he eventually realizes the error of his ego and begins a transition from completely self-absorbed jerk to humble member of the community. Now, with the help of those who have surrounded him in this tiny little town in the middle of nowhere, Lightning McQueen gets on the road again and makes it to his last race in time. And this time, as he pulls up, he has the backing of a community of friends with him. Well, it's time for the race to begin, the final race of the season, and it takes off and around and around and around and around and around and around they go until the final lap. Well, there's three cars all bunched together at the lead. Lightning McQueen is one of them. The other two cars have been the cars finishing first and second all season. The car that usually comes in first is named the King. And then there's the perpetual runner-up. Well, all three of them are locked in together as they enter that final lap, and Lightning McQueen, with the coaching of one of his friends from the small rundown town, makes the move and takes the lead and begins to gain some distance in the lead. Well, the perpetual runner-up and the usual winner are none too excited about this, and the perpetual runner-up decides to take some things into his own hands and gives the usual first-place winner a hard bump, which spins him out of control, and he crashes off the track. Lightning McQueen notices that this has happened and slams on his brakes, for he knows that this is the King's last race before retirement. He comes to a screeching halt just centimeters before the finish line. And then he puts the car in reverse and backs up off the track behind the King and pushes him back onto the track and nudges him across the finish line, helping his friend finish his final race. Of course, the perpetual runner-up had finished long before and didn't quite understand why nobody was celebrating his win, why all the attention was going to the King and Lightning McQueen. Lightning McQueen is in a very different place than where he started. It's in this display of the depth of his transformation that he realizes there's a whole lot more to racing than winning. That's why he helped the King, because that's what friends and a supportive, loving community do for one another. They risk fame to instead invest in each individual. It's not unlike what we do as a church family. We didn't get into this for the fame, but we invest in each individual, helping them know that they belong here, that they are valued and affirmed as beloved friends of God. Because of his unusual deed, Lightning McQueen is offered the top sponsorship of the racing world that has belonged to the King for a long time. He's had his eye on that sponsor since he started the season. And early in the season, he couldn't wait to get rid of his loser sponsor for this big catch. However, something is different about Lightning McQueen now. So he's offered to become the new race car of the premier sponsor. But Lightning McQueen determines that he will stick with his original sponsor, who has stuck with him, even when he was hard to live with, because they believed in him and supported him. The premier sponsor remarks, "I can respect that," when he hears about Lightning McQueen's decision to turn them away and to stick with his supportive fans and those who love him. Both Lightning McQueen and Jesus demonstrate that there's only one kind of life worth celebrating. The life that sets aside its own interests for the sake of a friend. So you have a challenge this week. Be part of a supportive and loving community for someone else. Seek the welfare of another. Set aside taking care of number one for at least a few minutes at some point this week, and reach out to someone else. If you have an idea of where you want to start, great. Take it, run for it, write it down, whatever you need to do. But make sure you do it. If you're not sure where to get started, we have a list of church family who are homebound or in nursing homes. It's in your newsletter every month, and it's also in your bulletins right here. Maybe if you don't know where to start, reach out to one of these, one of our church family, who might need to know the extra love and support of this community of faith. Maybe there's someone you haven't seen in worship as often as you used to. Maybe that's the person you reach out to, extending the love of this community. Sometimes what we need is just a reminder to be the sort of people who live lives not for fame, but lives that are worth celebrating. Thanks be to God. Amen.